Welcome to our Wednesday night rewind from Believer City Church in Menominee. We want to thank you for joining us this evening, whether you're tuned in on 101.7 FM Street Level Radio, or if you're streaming live from our website, jfbelievers.com. We also welcome those joining from our local community Bible discussions. We've got small groups meeting in Menominee and Eau Claire and Colfax, as well as Bloomer, Durand, Glenwood City, and Woodville tonight. So welcome, everybody. We hope you have a blessed evening in discussion. On Sunday, we were in Judges chapter 7, and we were looking at a message titled Gideon, the Faithful, looking at this man Gideon. And tonight, we're going to recap that story. We're going to read through the scripture briefly and show a few clips from Sunday's message and then get into our discussion concerning this subject of faith. So let's hit the tape.
Judges chapter 7. Then Zerubbabel, that is Gideon, all the people who were with him, rose early and encamped beside the well of Herod, so that the camp of the Midianites was on the north side of them by the hill of Morah in the valley. And the Lord said to Gideon, "The people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, 'My own hand has saved me.' Now therefore proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, 'Whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead, and depart at once from depart at once from Mount Gilead,' and 22,000 people returned and 10,000 people remained. But the Lord said to Gideon, 'The people are still too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. Then it will be that of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, the same shall go with you. And whomever I say to you, this one shall not go with you, the same shall not go.' So he brought the people down to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, 'Everyone who laughs from the water with his tongue as a dog laughs, he shall set apart by himself. Likewise, everyone who gets down on his knees to drink.' And the number of those who laughed, putting their hands to their mouth, was 300 men. But all the rest of the people got down on their hands to drink water. Then the Lord said to Gideon, 'By the 300 men who laughed, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand. Let all the other people go, every man to his place.' So the people took the provisions and their trumpets in their hands, and he sent them away, all the rest to Israel, every man to his tent, and retained those 300 men. Now the camp of Midian was below him in the valley. It happened on that same night, and the Lord said, 'Arise, go down to the camp. I have delivered it into your hands. But if you are afraid to go down to the camp with Purah your servant, and you shall hear what they say, and afterwards your hands will be strengthened to go down against the camp.' So he went down with Purah, his servant, to the outpost of the armed men who were in the camp. Now the Midianites and the Amalekites, all the people of the east, were lying in the valley as numerous as locusts. And their camels were without number, and the sand as the sand by the seashore in multitude. And when Gideon had come, there was a man telling a dream to his companion. He said, 'I have a dream. To my surprise, a loaf of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian. It came to the tent, struck us so that it fell and overturned, and the tent collapsed.' And his companion answered and said, 'This is nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, the man of Israel. Into his hands God has delivered Midian and the whole camp.' And so it was when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation that he worshipped. He returned to the camp of Israel and said, 'Arise, for the Lord has delivered the camp of Midian into your hand.' And he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet into each man's hand with empty pitchers and torches inside the pitchers. And he said to them, 'Look at me and do likewise. Watch when I come to the edge of the camp and shall do as I do. When I blow the trumpet, I and all who are with me, then you also blow the trumpets on every side of the whole camp and say, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon."' So Gideon and the 100 who were with him came to the outposts of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, just as they were posted the watch. They blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers that were in their hands. And then three companies blew their trumpets and broke the pitchers that held the torches in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands for blowing. And they cried, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." And every man stood in his place all around the camp. And the whole army ran and cried out and fled. Then the 300 blew their trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his companion throughout the whole camp. And the army fled to Beth Acacia toward Zerah, as far as the border of Abel Moalah and by Tabath.
The Bible tells us without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith. And in chapter 7, we'll see Gideon the decisive, the courageous, the faithful. From him, we see a testimony of what it means to be faithful to God. Like them, we too are often tempted to face our problems, to fight our battles in our own strength, in our own self-sufficiency. But that's our biggest enemy, in thinking, we got this. I can handle this. I can do this. You cannot be too small for God to use, but you can be too big. And at this point, 31,700 men were sent home. That's a lot out of 32,000, and 300 are left. It's less than 1%. 1% of the original army is left. Now, as we begin this, before this dream, any confidence Gideon might have had is probably wiped out. 32,300. The odds had dropped to 450-1. Like I said, less than 1%. Now, I'm glad this is recorded for us because sometimes we can fear what God is asking us to do. And no doubt Gideon feared very much what God was asking him to do at this point. But this time, God throws Gideon a bone. All right? He says, "Go down to the camp, and you shall hear, and your hands shall be strengthened." I think we need to understand this about the character of our God. He doesn't just put us through tests. Okay, God isn't just some giant in the sky testing us all the time. He actually cares. He understands our weaknesses. He knows when we need encouragement as well. The Bible tells us we don't have a God who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who, in every respect, has been tempted as we are. Jesus went through this. He knows what we're going through. He knows the odds, the challenges, and he sympathizes with us. But also notice, God didn't excuse Gideon because of his fear. He didn't say, "Okay, you can go home because you're afraid." He didn't excuse him from the task. In fact, he strengthened Gideon to obey and to carry out the task God had called him to. And as Gideon stepped out into the place where God directed him, God gave him the confirmation that he desperately, desperately needed. It was there that God confirmed the faith of Gideon. Now, I want to explain this too, because I think we have faith. I hear this all the time. We have faith in all this crazy stuff. I mean, faith is so misused. It's like the word love is so misinterpreted today. Gideon's faith wasn't based on some personal inclination or personal feeling he had. Okay? His faith, the faith he was trying to get confirmation for, was based upon God's word, what God had already said over and over and over and over again. In 6:12, we read, "The Lord is with you." In 6:14, "You shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites." This is God speaking to Gideon. In 6:14, "Have I not sent you?" In 6:16, "Surely I will be with you." 6:16 again, "You shall defeat the Midianites." 6:23, "Peace be with you. Don't fear." 7:7, "I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand." And 7:9, "I have delivered them." Even though the battle hadn't occurred, "I have delivered their camp into your hand." God over and over and over and over is saying the same thing. It's just hard to hear. But God's word hasn't changed. How many times does God have to say something before we believe him? How many times does God have to say something before we trust him? Too often we're trying to put our faith in things that God hasn't said. Instead of putting our faith, our trust, in what God has said. And you know what happens here? He says, Gideon believed, and
we read he worshiped. This is probably, to me, the most important verse of the whole chapter. Because he hasn't even gone into battle yet. He worshiped with odds 450-1. Again, I'd be hitting the panic button. Here he worships before the battle. And I think this is where Hebrews 11:1, it's hard, I know this verse gets used a lot, but this is really what it means. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Gideon's worship at this point was the substance of what he hoped for. Gideon's worship was the evidence of something he hadn't yet seen. I think this is why the book of Hebrews records Gideon, this one verse, him worshiping here, is why the book of Hebrews considers Gideon in the hall of faith, in the list of patriarchs that we can look to as examples of faith, because he worshiped at odds 450-1. God says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Here Gideon and his men show up at the enemy's camp in the middle watch. This is sometime between 10 p.m. and midnight. And we read, when the 300 blew their trumpets, the Lord set every man's sword against his companion throughout the whole camp. Can you imagine? 300 men with trumpets and clay pots and torches, and the result is 135,000 people, Midianites, Amalekites, Arabians, all of a sudden start attacking each other. This is unreasonable. What happens here? Warren Wiersbe once said, when God is on your side, the size of the enemy is of no great concern. Just keep your eyes on him. Just keep your eyes on him. From Joshua 1:9, God reminds us, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord, your God, is with you wherever you go. If you're doing battle for the Lord, he's there. He's with you wherever you're called to be, wherever you're called to go. It's his battle. It's his enemy. It's his war. He's there.
As we look at Gideon and this chapter, the first thing we see is that there's a few tests of faith. Now, many of us like to operate in our lives with the least amount of risk. What we do then often requires really the least amount of faith. As we seek what is most convenient, maybe what is most comfortable, what is certainly most secure, we then at the same time forfeit the miraculous, seeing God's hand and what is most glorifying to God. You see, we like to seek a middle road, some safe zone, some normal existence, and we do our best to avoid all the low lows and the pitfalls of life. But we also then forfeit the high highs and the abundant life that God has so freely given to us. See, the reality is, if we're honest with ourselves, we don't really want to live by faith. We'd, in fact, rather live without it sometimes. And but let's face it, though, less risk equals less faith. But the Bible comes along and tells us, without faith, it's impossible to please the Lord. Now note that that verse doesn't say without some sort of sinless perfection, it's impossible to please the Lord, or without holiness, or even without sacrifice or service, which are all important to God. But it says without faith, it's impossible to please the Lord. Now for Gideon, he'd managed to gather 32,000 troops for this battle, but God would send 31,700 of them packing back home, leaving only 300. See, God tells us, my power is made perfect in weakness. For when we are weak, then we are strong. Let me ask you, how many of us are willing to operate in weakness that God might be strong. Now, next we saw the confirmation of Gideon's faith. He hears this dream, ironically, from the enemy's camp, and its interpretation. And the crazy thing is it actually agrees with what God had been telling Gideon the whole time. And I think this is important, because how do we know in our lives if something is God's will? I think a lot of times we can be on our knees asking, praying, even crying out to God. But how do we discern if some certain path is the right path? How do we confirm some thoughts we're having are the right and true thoughts? Well, one very clear way we can do that is by holding that thing, that path, that thought, those feelings, those experiences, even that dream, up to the light of God's word and what God has already been saying. Oftentimes, we can find the answers already existing in the word of God. Hebrews 4:12 tells us the word of God is living and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It says it pierces, even divides asunder the soul from the spirit and the joints from the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart. Now, just as I look at my arm and I can't physically see between my joints and marrow because my arm is covered by skin, nor can we spiritually see between what is soulish and what is spiritual. Gang, we can't even figure out what's going on in our own hearts most of the time. But that's where God's word comes in, and it has the power to cut, to discern, and to reveal the truth. Here, this dream that Gideon had simply confirmed what God had already been saying according to his word. And we saw that in chapter 6 and 7. And here Gideon finally believed, and he worshipped. This is before the battle. The odds at this point were 450-1. It begs the question, where might we experience that kind of faith of worshipping before the battle in our own lives? We then moved on to the victory of faith. We saw that Gideon and his men were armed with, in their right hand, a trumpet or a ram's horn, in their left hand, some clay pots, and some torches inside. And we'd say, well, that's silly, that's foolish. And that's exactly the point. The Bible tells us God has chosen the foolish things, the clay pots, the trumpets, the ram's horns. He's chosen the foolish things of the world to confound, to confuse. And that's exactly what we'll see, the wise. He's chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, i.e. 135,000 enemy soldiers. In all honesty, we are those foolish instruments. We are those foolish things, and we are those weak things, if we're truly honest with ourselves. Gang, we don't need oftentimes to know how God is going to answer a particular situation. We simply need to believe and to know that God is going to answer. And God did just that. The enemy here swings their swords in darkness. They swing their swords at each other in confusion. And gang, God isn't the author of confusion for his children, for his 300 men. But for the enemy, there's no guarantees. The enemy is at work in the enemy's camp. Finally, we saw the effects of faith. We read in verse 23, the men of Israel gathered together from Naphtali and Asher and all Manasseh and pursued the Midianites. And after seeing this victory by the hand of Gideon, these countrymen who had turned back previously and had departed previously now gathered together in unity to pursue after the Midianites. And Gideon and his 300 men, they simply showed them the way. They showed the path of walking faithfully before the Lord, no matter the odds. And eventually, these guys got on board. I wonder what the effects of our faith will be. In closing, before we go to discussion, let's just ask ourselves a few questions. Where do we stand today? Will we pass the tests of our faith? Will we know the confirmation of faith? Will we experience the victories of faith? And will our lives show the effects of faith? What will be the testimony of our faith this week, this month? Perhaps this year. Hope you guys have a blessed discussion. Good night.